appreciate your prayers this morning. We're very needy of the Lord's help. But I've been challenged with a scripture, and I'd like to pass it on to us today. It's found in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. And Jesus here gives credence to John the Baptist and his ministry. He was sent as a forerunner to Christ to prepare the way and the hearts of the people. And he was faithful to his calling and ministry. I'd like to start maybe in the 7th verse. It said, "And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. And the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children." I was thinking about this verse and how the Lord mentioned that greater is He in the kingdom of God than John the Baptist. Sometimes we don't live to what's been given to us. The Lord has provided so much for us to be able to have for victory in our lives and to be what God is calling us to be. And sometimes we don't put in for what God has given to us, and we don't use what's been made available to us through the grace of God and what the Holy Spirit that's been sent down from above to us. We have that all available to us to be conquerors and to be what God wants us to be, to rise in our lives, to be victorious and to overcome all the powers of the enemy and all the temptations of the world and all the allurements of the world. The Lord purchased that for us. He said, He that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. We have all things that are made available to us. But he went on and he told them, he said, we've piped and you've not danced, and we've mourned and you've not lamented. In other words, there wasn't much response. And I feel very challenged in our day and our time, because so many times we've heard and we've known and we've seen and we've heard, but if we're not careful, we can just let things slide by and we don't really grasp and take advantage of what has been given to us and what we have made available to us today. He said, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." I want to encourage us and challenge us to be violent in our spiritual lives. And I'm not talking about being violent with our brother or violent with other people, but violent with our own selves, that we bring ourselves into a place that God can work and use our lives. This word violent, when I looked it up, it means to force, to crowd oneself into, to be seized, energetic. And he says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent, they take it. They get a hold of it. And there were people in Christ's day, there were so many here that, you know, they found fault. They looked at this and they saw John the Baptist and they said, what they say about John, they said, he came neither eating or drinking. They said he's got a devil. They found fault with John. Christ came eating and drinking. And they said, behold a gluttonous man, a wine bibber. You know, folks, if we're not careful, it's easy for us to look and find excuses. It's easy for us to lay fault on somebody instead of taking responsibility for ourselves. And we live in a society that doesn't want to take responsibility. We live in a society that wants to live on handouts. They want the government to provide for them. They want their parents to provide for them. But maturity and responsibility demands that we take responsibility for our own lives, our own selves, and our own families. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violent, and the violent take it by force. Lord, help us today, and not only today, but in this meeting, to persevere and to lay hold on what God has for us, to believe in His promises, to grasp the promises of God and to know that they're for us today, and that we would hold on to them and claim them and believe in them. When our feelings tell us it's not true, when the world around us tells us nothing to it, when society is going a completely opposite direction, Lord, help us today to continue to lay hold and to believe and to claim and to seize on to what God has for us, that we can be a partaker, that we can have the fulfillment of the promises in our hearts, in our lives. See, most of the people, they were just standing back, and they were finding fault, and they were criticizing, and they were critical. And we can fall into that mindset if we're not careful. And we fail to recognize that God wants us to fill a place. Regardless of what everyone else is doing, God wants me to fill the place that He's called me to. And He wants you, and He has the place for every one of us today. Every one of us, God wants us to be busy in His kingdom, in His vineyard. He has a work that He calls us to. And we've got to seek that out and to find it and to lay hold upon it. And allow the Lord to lead us in our lives. It's something that we got to persevere for. It's something we've got to put some effort into. If we're not careful, we can just get complacent of where we are at spiritually. And I'll challenge us. Some of you young people were raised in Christian homes, and you've heard this all your life. And it seems like sometimes it can be just a dull message. Or just, yeah, I've heard this before. But we don't really put forth the effort to know and experience and get a hold of what God. Folks, there is no greater blessing today than to have God living in our lives and working through us and answering our prayer and leading us by His Spirit. That's where the blessing is. That's where the fullness of life is. It's not in the material things of this life. It's not in things that you can accumulate. It's not in the positions of this world and what this world has to offer. It's being a conduit for God to live in and to work through. That is the greatest thing that you and I can have, and that's what brings happiness. That brings fulfillment to our hearts and our lives. When I know that God is speaking through me and He's using my life to be a blessing and a help to other people around about us. But if we're not careful, we can get in this place of being just complacent. Complacent. I've looked that up too. It says self-satisfaction, accompanied by an unawareness of actual dangers or deficiencies. I'm just kind of satisfied with where I'm at spiritually. I'm just kind of satisfied with things in general. And I'm really not stepping. I'm really not moving closer to God. I'm really not digging. I'm just kind of complacent, satisfied. Lord, help us to get out of those places of self-satisfaction and create us in a real hunger and a thirst for more of God, for more of His power working in our hearts and our lives. Lord, help us today to be willing. He said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent, they take it by force. They lay hold upon it. And there's different things. I want to mention now the Queen of Sheba in the same chapter in verse 42. It says, the Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. This queen, she heard about Solomon. She heard about his kingdom. But she wasn't just satisfied with hearing. She wanted to go see. She wanted to see for herself. And she came along a great distance. She put a lot of effort into going. You know, sometimes we can hear about things and we just let it go at that. I heard it. But there's no real blessing and fullness of blessing in just hearing. It's when I put my heart into it. It's when I put some effort into it to go seek it. And Jesus said that she would rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, the greater than Solomon is here. Oh, was she disappointed with her trip? Was she disappointed in the effort that she made? When she got there, she saw the kingdom. She saw the blessing of God. She saw when Solomon went up to worship the Lord, how he humbled himself before God. And the Lord was blessing their servants. The Lord was blessing the land, the people. There were rest and they had peace. Oh, she said, what'd she say? The half hasn't been told to me. Folks, I can't tell you the half of it this morning. You're going to have to taste and see it for yourself. The testimony that your mom had and your grandparents had. You're going to have to get a hold of it yourself, and you're going to have to taste and seize for it to be able to experience. But I know it's so this morning. The half has never been told. What's the song say? It's no secret what God can do, what He's done for others, He'll do for you. Is the Lord just trying to bar us out this morning? Is the Lord just trying to keep us from victory and making things difficult for us? No, He wants us to have it. He wants us to possess His kingdom. He wants us to utilize the things that He's given to us today. But Lord, help us today to put forth effort to seek God. You know, when I was a child, I remember hearing people say that every step that you take towards God, God is taking one towards you. And I believe that this morning. I believe the Bible backs that up. Every step, every move, every effort that you make towards God, He's making towards you, because the Scripture says to draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. So if we want more of God's blessing, everything that we do, Lord, I want more of Your presence. I want more Does your heart crave that today? Deep down inside, don't you want God to hear your prayers? Don't you want to have more of a communion, more of a close relationship with God? Every move that you make towards that, every place that you seek, you know, there Daniel, the book of Daniel, when Daniel began to seek God, he said, the first day that you set your face to seek me, I saw it. From the very start, when you were seeking me, I saw that. And the Lord was coming towards him. And it's that way with us this morning. The Lord can help us today. I want to look at another scripture now in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and the 21st verse. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Oh, folks, this woman had a great need this morning. It was her daughter. She was in trouble. And this woman came to the Lord for help. She had a yearning for her daughter to be made whole and well. But instead, he answered her not a word. When you and I first begin to seek, and we don't get anything, you don't hear anything, and you don't feel God, what's our response then? What do? We walk away and just go our separate ways and go our way? This woman didn't do that. When it seemed like she didn't get an answer, she stayed there. I know this morning that deep down most of us believe that our help is in God today. But sometimes it seems like things are set against us. It seems like you can pray and it seems like the heavens seem like brass sometimes. And it's easy for us at those times to get discouraged and quit. It's easy at those times to give up. This woman didn't do that. She held on. Said he answered her not a word. His disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. And then she got this bad message from all the other disciples. Lord, she's troubling us. I put myself in that place. How would I react? It would be easy to say, if they feel like that, forget them. I'm going my way. She didn't do that. She humbled her heart. Down further. Lord. He answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. That wasn't a very... Lord, help me know how to put this. That wouldn't be very good to hear, put it that way. Basically, he said, I'm sent. And that's true. His message was to the children of Israel. The gospel was first to come to them, the children of Israel. But deep down, this woman believed that God was no respecter of persons. She believed that her help was in God and that He had the power to help her. And she said, "The dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." She realized that's all she needed was a crumb. And she stayed there until she got it. And the Lord said, "Woman, great is thy faith." When we recognize there's places in our life that are not quite like Christ, when there's areas in our life that are quite not what God wants them to be, are we going to hold on? Are we going to continue to seek? Are we going to seize the promises and believe and hold on until God gives us what we need? I want to encourage us to do that today. Whatever it takes, God is able to give us the victory that our heart craves. He's able to give us the victory. He's able to give us knowledge and understanding. He's able to work things out in our hearts and our lives if we'll come to Him believing and holding on in faith. "Lord, I know You're able to help me." But it's easy to get to go away sorrowful. It's easy to give up and quit before victory comes. Lord, help us today. Jacob. You know, Jacob had issues in his life, didn't he? And it didn't start with Jacob. His mother had issues. And Jacob had some of the same issues. You know, I want to tell us something. There's some family traits that are handed down that run in the genes. And God brought Jacob to a place in his life. And I'm convinced this morning that He does the very same thing with every one of us. He'll allow difficulties, He'll allow trials to bring us face to face with who we are. And the Lord does that for our good. He does that for our benefit. He doesn't want us to just be complacent and self-satisfied when we've got issues that have been in my parents and in me, and I'm passing it on down to my children. And Jacob was brought face to face with that. And God will do that for every one of us. He'll bring us face to face with who we are as an individual. Lord, help us at those times to be honest with ourselves and to recognize I need a greater blessing. Jacob, he stayed and sought God, didn't he? He sent the others on over the other side and he stayed there and sought the Lord and prayed. And he wrestled there. And he didn't quit. And he said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." And he got the blessing. We need that same determination. If we want victory in our lives, we want to be what God wants us to be, we need to set our face and the purpose in our hearts. I want to get what God has for me. I want the victory. This thing that's been tripping me up and plaguing me in my life, I'm going to hold on till God gives me victory and God helps me. And the Lord has a way of helping us. and witnessing to our hearts and meeting us in those places. But we've got to be determined. We've got a purpose in our heart. I believe the Scriptures bear this out in many different places. It's not all on God's part. Sometimes we expect God to do His part and our part too. God has a part, we have a part. And God will fulfill. Not long ago, I installed cabinets and I was called to go fix the cabinets that had been installed earlier. And I really didn't want to do it. The warranty was passed. It had been over a year. The warranty was passed, but this lady had called in and wanted someone to come to, and then she called the higher management. She knew how to get some help. And I was feeling, I didn't install the cabinets. I didn't feel like it was my responsibility. And I just didn't want to, and I talked to her on the phone and she said, "Well, I think you're going to have to take the whole thing out and rebuild it." And I just saw this kitchen coming apart and the crown molding taking all that stuff down and having to redo it all. And I had some reserve and I really wasn't very gung-ho about doing it. But I went. And I started working with the cabinet. And it just seemed like different things came to my mind, what I could do to help this cabinet. And you know, the job wasn't near as big as what first I thought it was going to be. I didn't have to tear a whole kitchen apart to make it work. And I was walking out the door, the Lord spoke to my heart, and He said, "My work and following Me is just like that." Sometimes when the Lord calls us, and sometimes in following the Lord, it looks difficult. It looks like we don't know how it's going to work out. It looks like perhaps trouble. If we'll simply put our foot forward and begin to do what God is wanting us to do, God will supply the rest. But if we just hold back, and I'm finding more and more the Lord works that way. I don't have all the answers. God doesn't want me to. I don't have all the solutions for everybody's problem. I don't have all the wisdom that people need. But God does. And if I'll step forward and ask God to help me, at those times when my flesh wants to pull back, God will meet with me and He'll work with me. You remember when they were crossing the Jordan River, it was the Lord told the priest to go out. Put your feet in the water. It didn't happen. And I'm finding in my life that faith is that way. We don't have all the answers. We don't know how God is going to do all work out all the problems and all the difficulties. But if we'll go forward in the name of the Lord with an expectation that God will help us and He'll give us what we need at those times, the Lord can do that. He can give us words. He can give us understanding. But you and I have to step forward in faith, believing that the Lord will help us. Lord, help us today to recognize that following the Lord is that way. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know how all the end of it's going to be. Lord, help us to have confidence that if we step out and look to Him, we consecrate, we give ourselves to Him, that He'll give us the grace and the strength. Did He ever fail the children of Israel in the places that He called them to? You know, when you look at where the Lord brought them from, the land of Egypt, and where He led them, it was not a rosy path. Sometimes there was places where there was no water. Sometimes they felt a lack of food. And it was all for a purpose, so they could know and understand God's power and be able to recognize and be a witness of God's blessing in their heart and in their life. And I believe the Lord does the same thing for us also. Lord, help us today to step forward, to move forward in our Christian lives. Let's not stay stuck in the same place. Let's have a desire to move forward for God and be what God is wanting us to be. I also thought about the children there when Zerubbabel came back to rebuild the temple, and at night he went out to survey the land. And what did it say? There was much rubbish. It was hardly a place for him to get around on his donkey. It just looked so disheartening, so discouraging. And sometimes it's going to look that way to us also. You're going to look around and it's going to look like rubbish. It's going to look like there's no way. It's going to look like there's too many obstacles in my way. You know, when God begins to call upon your heart, the enemy's right there to bring excuses. He's right there to bring obstacles in front of you to prevent you from being and entering into what God wants you to enter into. Those rocks there, all that rubbish, the walls have been pulled down. But they kept on. They kept working. They put their hand to it. And little by little, things began to change. They put their mind to it. They worked. They I believe in one hand they were working with one hand, they had the sword in the other. They were watching the enemy. They had to contend with the enemy also. Lord, help us today. And pretty soon things began to happen. A wall began to be built up. A wall of protection. You know, it's that way in our spiritual lives. Sometimes when we just get saved, you know, we come to the Lord and we give Him our hearts and our lives, but it looks like, you know, sin is destroyed so much. But the Lord can build a wall. He can build fortifications there. He can build places of godliness and righteousness in your heart and your life. If you'll not get discouraged and give up, but keep following and building and being what God wants us to be, He'll help us in those areas. I want us to think also, and this is a challenge to my heart and soul. The children of Israel that came into the land of Canaan, there was a generation that didn't get to go in there. God had it for them. He wanted them to possess the land. But they didn't go in. They didn't believe. They didn't persevere. They pulled back and they didn't get to go in. The Lord raised up another generation and they went in. But you know, they never really possessed all the land that God wanted them to have. They got to a place, they got several victories, they got land, they got possessions. But they came to a place where they were satisfied. They came to a place where they were content. And they quit fighting. And they never possessed what God really wanted them to possess. You know, the same message comes down to you and I today. Lord, help us to possess the ground, the victories that God wants us to possess in our hearts, in our lives today. In 2015, our lives today, Lord, help us to possess. Help me to be. Help me to experience Your presence and Your victory in what God has for us today. Lord, help us to possess the ground that God wants us to have. We're going to have to persevere. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And I want to challenge us during the course of this meeting. If we've lost spiritual ground, if we have some places in our lives that the enemy is taking advantage of and taking control of, I want to encourage us to repossess it. I want to encourage us not to be just satisfied with the encroachment of the enemy in our lives. Repossess. Go back in and take. The Scripture also likens our Christian life as a battle. We must be willing to fight. We've got to fight for spiritual ground, for victory. We've got to put our hearts into it, our minds, our spirit. We've got to put ourselves into it if we want to possess what God wants us to possess. And it's the Lord's desire and His will for us today to possess the land. He wants us to inhabit the promises. He wants to be our God. He wants to be our all in all. He wants us to be able to pass on accounts to our children. Oh, I love that when He told them different times. He said, "You erect a monument." You know, when they crossed the Jordan in different places, He said, "You erect a monument." That's for your children to know. The Lord wants us to have victories, and He wants us to pass them on. This is where the Lord helped me. This is where the Lord met me and blessed me and gave me power and gave me victory and answered prayer for me when I was in trouble. And we can pass those things on down to the next generation. Oh, I'm thankful for what the generation before us has given, the testimonies, the blessings that we've had. It's for us today. In 2015, it's for our day and our time. Lord, help us today to be possessors. Amen.